until it feel like rain. My heart, when you said we'll part, ain't that a shame? My tears feel like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Fats Domino. Ain't that a shame? Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Friday, January the 28th already. Wow. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Ben Lieberman of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about the Biden administration's attempts to regulate appliances in practically every part of your house. So stay tuned for that. Very interesting. A New York congressman, by the way, is calling for Joe Biden's impeachment over the late-night drop-offs of illegal aliens across the country. We're going to get some thoughts on that and a couple other things with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi, a little bit later in the show. And scientists who downplayed the COVID-19 lab leak theory, you know what? They sang a different tune in private. And we're going to take a look, so stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 most corrupt countries. We gave you the least corrupt on Wednesday, so we'll get you the most corrupt this morning. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop for men in Tampa Bay. Also, it's probably the best price. I don't know of a better priced place, but I can tell you for sure it's the best. Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin, just off State Road 580 Main Street on Overcast Drive, just north. It's in the Overcast Plaza. Hey, guys, get a great haircut. You'll never want to go anywhere else. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. Well, you know, all those impeachment calls for Trump every time he turned and looked cross-eyed at something. Well, a New York congressman, Nicole Malliotakis, and Claudia Tenney have blasted Biden after leaked footage revealed migrants being flown all over the place. All over the place. But they're going to, I think it's Westchester in particular in New York. And Tenney said this is a complete aggravated dereliction of duty, which is why last night I called for Joe Biden to be impeached and removed. Impeached and removed. His primary obligation as commander-in-chief and president is to enforce our laws. He's right. They don't legislate from the White House. They execute the laws. To live up to his oath, to enforce our border security, and to tell the truth to the American people. I'm glad somebody finally, now, he's not going to go anywhere with this right now. But do you remember Pelosi and all the Democrats going after Trump the way they did twice? Second time, he wasn't even in office anymore. So Biden is violating all kinds of things, especially on the border. Leaked video. Fox News has been showing video of these people. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It shows migrants being transported on secret charter flights under the cover of darkness from southern border states to Westchester, New York. A federal contractor told a Westchester police officer, quote, the government is betraying the American people. I mean, why doesn't anybody demand that this be stopped? I mean, they're just dumping them all over the place. It's totally illegal. The footage obtained by a Freedom of Information Act by a former Westchester County executive first surfaced back in October when the New York Post captured video of what was going on at the airport in White Plains, New York. So, I mean, and it's our tax dollars, too, that's transporting them. You don't think these people that came across the border illegally are paying for all of these transports on planes and buses and taxis and everything else? Of course they're not. So we'll talk a little bit later about this, but it's an absolute crime, and he should be impeached on this particular situation. In the meantime, if you watched him yesterday, he says, this is President Biden, that he's going to nominate a black woman to the Supreme Court. Nothing like a little affirmative action going on. Of course, the Supreme Court has been looking at affirmative action cases and basically voting them down when it comes to colleges and taking, you know, preferences for certain races over other races. Look what's going on at Harvard right now. Asian Americans, there's all kinds of complaints. I think there are some suits now by Asian Americans because with the preferences for affirmative action for people that are black, especially black, at such institutions as Harvard, it's disqualifying people that have perhaps better scholastic achievement and deserve a spot. And a lot of Asian Americans are the ones that are getting, let's be honest, Asian Americans usually do pretty well. They work hard. They attain a great deal of success. And a lot of them are being disqualified from getting into school because somebody else is taking their place because they have to fulfill like an affirmative action quota. And that's wrong. But here we are with the Supreme Court and Biden. When Stephen Breyer announced his retirement, Biden was there to, of course, give him some kind words and then immediately said he was going to nominate a black woman to take his place. Well, that's unfair. Why don't you nominate the best person available to take his place, regardless of gender or color of skin? It's so stupid. House Majority Whip James Clyburn confirmed yesterday that he pushed Biden to nominate a black woman to the court. He floated a possible candidate as well. He said, not a single time has a black woman ever been seriously considered. So I took it up with Biden a couple of years ago. The right time for us to do something about it is now. And his question, how many times have you heard it said that black women are the backbone of the Democratic Party? So, you know, Biden, once again, he always puts his foot in his mouth. He shouldn't have said that, even though everybody knows he's going to do that, to say, well, I am going to nominate a black woman. I mean, the ink is not dry on the retirement letter that he got from Stephen Breyer, and he's saying that. Anyway, that's the way politics goes. Now, can you imagine the hue and cry if he said, and by the way, I'm going to nominate a white man to the Supreme Court. We need another white man on the Supreme Court. We don't have enough. Can you imagine how the press would handle that one? All right, going to take our break. When we come back, Ben Lieberman of the Competitive Enterprise Institute going to talk to us about a regulatory burden for every room of your house.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
I took my troubles down to Madam Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap too. She's got a hat on 34th and Vine. Selling.
Oh yeah, we're back. And delighted to have Ben Lieberman join us. He is a former senior counsel on the U.S. House Committee on Energy and Commerce, and he's currently a senior fellow with the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. I'm going to talk with Ben about these regulatory burdens, basically for every room of your house. Ben, welcome to Freedom Works.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's absolutely our pleasure. So tell us a little bit about what the Biden administration is trying to do with their regulatory policy and appliances in Home Sweet Home.
Well, there's so many bad things going on right now that there's a lot of things that really aren't getting much attention. And one of the things is the Biden administration, and this is the Department of Energy efficiency standards, water and energy efficiency standards for home appliances. And it's been problematic in the past. We've seen ones that raise the cost of the appliance more than they say the energy. But now we have the Biden administration, and even though some of these appliances have already been regulated 3 or 4 or 5 times, they want to impose a brand new round of top standards that are likely to do more harm than good, raise the cost of a product more than you're likely to save, and possibly harm consumer choice and product quality. And there's so many of them that practically every room in your house will be impacted.
I am old enough to remember, Ben, when you would have something on your appliance that you bought tested by, I forget, it was UAL or one of the private, capitalistic organizations that everybody felt was, if it passed that test, it was going to be a good product. And I think this was before so much federal regulation came along. It seemed like we got along just fine that way. Oh, Underwriters Lab. Remember that, Underwriters Lab? And all of the testing that they would do to kind of give a check mark to whether or not you're getting a good product. Now,
yeah, UL is still around, but now the Department of Energy supersedes everything.
Exactly. That was going to be my point. Go ahead and talk about that.
Well, under the law, the Department of Energy can set efficiency standards for energy and water-using appliances. And one of the reasons that we're seeing new rounds of even tougher standards is climate change. The Biden administration is arguing that anything that uses energy, because that requires coal-fired power plants, natural gas-fired power plants to power these things, that we need to set new rounds of even tougher efficiency standards to help fight climate change. And the problem with that is now you're pushing an environmental agenda, not a consumer agenda. You're not putting consumers first. And in fact, many of these appliance standards will very likely do more harm than good. To give you one example of something that's going to reduce product choices is the old-fashioned incandescent light bulb may be finally going away because the Department of Energy efficiency standards being proposed right now would be so hard for an incandescent bulb to meet that they'd likely disappear from the market, and we'd be left only with the LED bulbs, which are good, but I think the consumer is better off having choices rather than being forced in one direction or another by the government.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's so crazy. Remember when we had for a while they looked like icicles, those lights that you would screw in, and they were supposed to be like energy efficient, but all of a sudden they weren't so good, and they kind of disappeared. And the good old incandescent light bulb came back again. You know, consumer choice. You know, you mentioned another thing, and by the way, I should mention that you did a wonderful story, an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal, on all of this. You mentioned the dishwashers and the regulations would have unintended consequences of increasing the time it would take to clean the dishes. by quite a bit of time. So now you're using more energy to do certain things with these stupid regulations.
Yeah, and efficiency with regard to people's time is not something that the bureaucrats in Washington are looking at. Now, this was a standard that had the unintended impact of raising the time it takes to do a dish, to do a load of dishes. It used to be about an hour, so now it's more than two.
Wow.
The Trump administration made changes to that to try to bring back the one-hour dishwashers, but the Biden administration is now reversing that and also embarking on potentially a new round of even tougher dishwasher standards that might make them even more inconvenient.
Wow. Into the laundry room, washing machines. What's going on in the laundry? Maybe they're going to screw around with my clothing?
Yeah, well, I remember once upon a time you could choose among a number of top-loading machines. Now you have those side loaders mostly, and the top loaders, there's a few of them, but they're more expensive. And they've been subject to a number of efficiency standards over the decades. And I know some people complain about clothes not getting as clean, the dryers take longer to do the job, but now we're looking at new rounds of efficiency standards that may make things even tougher. And I should point out, you know, any consumer who wants to buy the ultra-efficient, politically correct models is always free to do so. Those models are on the market for those consumers who want to pay a little more to be politically correct. But what these standards do is force that costlier choice on everyone, even though it doesn't make sense for them.
Exactly. Let's go to the basement. Your furnace is down in the basement. These days, we're worried about, we've had a particularly cold snap going on right now, up northeast and the north. So, but they're also going to play around with your furnaces with natural gas. What's going on with that?
Yeah, well, there's kind of a war on natural gas. Again, back to the climate agenda. The environmentalists don't like natural gas. And they don't want homeowners to use natural gas furnaces, natural gas cooking, natural gas water heaters. And there are some efforts, again, at DOE to try to push the market for furnaces away from natural gas furnaces more toward electric furnaces, which are more expensive. So, again, it's the climate agenda, but it's an anti-consumer agenda, and that's not what should be going on here.
Exactly. We're talking with Ben Lieberman. He is a senior fellow with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He was the senior counsel on the House Committee on Energy and Commerce. He's penned a piece in the Wall Street Journal, A Regulatory Burden for Every Room of Your House. Also, you've mentioned the good old kitchen sink. Specifically, they're reconsidering a method for testing compliance with the water use limits or something.
I just got a kick out of that because I thought, you know, the old expression, they're going after everything in the kitchen.
But, yes.
In this case, they are taking a look at kitchen sink and the way that you test compliance with federal standards for the maximum amount of water that a kitchen sink or any faucet can use. Yes, that's been regulated, too. So, and if they decide to test it a little differently, that could end up with some models not being legal anymore.
You know, we always talk a lot on this show about these bureaucrats who don't have to, like, own up because they don't get voted on. They get placed in these positions, and yet they are the ones that shape so much of the policy and, you know, sit down in the back rooms and kind of map this stuff out. I always worry about that. Is there anything that can be done other than to, you know, to like you are doing, to publish this? Are we going to be able to stop some of this nonsense? Can Congress become involved?
Well, there's things that we can do. CEI, and that's the Competitive Enterprise Institute, my group, and 14 other groups, we just filed a comment with the Department of Energy against the proposed rule that would eliminate incandescent light bulbs. If we see a change in Congress can shoot down any regulation with something called a congressional resolution of disapproval. So maybe that's something that we can we might see if there's a change in Congress, a closer scrutiny of federal regulations and rejection of those that are not in the best interest of consumers.
Yeah, I mean, we got enough problem right now with what's going on and trying to fill, trying to get the groceries home and this, that, and the other thing. And yet, I just never understand why they want to, you know, get so, what's the word, you know, drill down to the point where they want to monitor things like that. What's going on in your home? What is the reasoning behind it? Is this just an overall attempt to limit the use of gas, energy, and the like in homes? Is that really what this is all about?
That's a big part of it. Another part of it is the self-interest of all the people who make their living off these kinds of issues. There's the bureaucrats. There's also all sorts of energy efficiency activists. I had to meet with them many, many times when I worked.
They have to justify their existence, don't they?
There's plenty of fancy houses in and around Washington, D.C., and it's these kind of people who can afford them.
Wow. Justify their existence by going after the homeowner. Golly, I know there's a lot of other things going on, Ben, you know, but in particular, you know, this kind of thing kind of just drives you crazy. Since you were on the Energy and Commerce Committee, is there anything Biden can do to help drive down the cost of gasoline right now at the pumps and the heating? My God, the cost. People are really going to be, especially with these cold temperatures, they're really going to be, I would think, reacting negatively to the administration and to Washington in general about the high cost of gas.
Everything he's doing is in the wrong direction. Now, it is true that it takes time to have an impact, especially something like oil prices, gasoline prices, natural gas prices, where there is a global market. But I would point out that on his very first day in office, President Biden rejected the Keystone XL oil pipeline, which would have brought oil from Canada into the U.S. And yes, you can say only one pipeline won't make that much of a difference globally. And that's true, but it's also true that a president sends a very strong signal by what he chooses to do on his very first day. And he sent a very strong signal to the oil and gas and industry and the fossil fuel industry, don't even bother to try. And I think that's one of the reasons why we see, even as oil prices have come back up again, they've sort of recovered from the COVID lows, you don't see the increase in drilling activity that you'd like to see, in part in some places because it's not allowed, but in part because I think companies are concerned that it's not going to be profitable because they have an administration that's going to try to make things difficult for them at every turn. So, yes, there is things he can do. He can be more open to energy production on federal lands. He can be more open to infrastructure projects, necessary infrastructure projects like Keystone XL, as well as natural gas pipelines. There's a lot he can do, but I think quite frankly, President Biden, he wants high energy prices. He just doesn't want it to be a political liability.
I still wonder why he's, he's shutting down projects like Keystone, but Nord Stream 2 over in Germany is okay.
I really can't understand that. And one thing I can't understand even more so is that he expressed opposition to a pipeline that would bring natural gas near the Mediterranean off the coast of Israel to Europe, which would be natural gas that would compete with Russia for the European
yes.
market. So he was against an Israeli pipeline, against Canadian and U.S. pipelines, but in favor of a pipeline that goes from Russia to Germany. It's like its opposite day.
Yeah, Putin should be thanking him rather than invading Ukraine, you know? For all of the things he's doing to raise the amount of gasoline energy that they're able to sell. Anyway, Ben, thank you so very much for coming on and talking about this, something we ought to keep our eye on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, you're welcome.
All right. Thank you. Ben Lieberman. All right. We are going to take our break. When we come back, Joe Biden's impeachment over the drop-offs of illegal aliens all across the country. Let's talk about that with the master barber himself.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. We're going to have a cold Saturday, Ed. I was looking at the temperatures. I believe we're going to get down into the low 30s in Tampa Bay, like 32 degrees. We usually have a couple days like that every winter. I guess we're at that time when we're going to get there.
Yeah, actually, Sunday morning's low should be in the low 30s, and then you're going to get a lot of frost up north.
Yeah,
Bobby's up in Citrus County. They're saying 24.
No kidding.
Up there, so that's a hard freeze.
That's bad for the oranges.
Oh, it's actually good for the strawberries, though.
Is it really?
Yeah, they say that the cold snap is what makes them sweet.
You're kidding? I didn't know that.
No, it's like clockwork.
Why doesn't it make the oranges sweeter?
Well, the oranges are different.
Yeah.
Because you remember the strawberries are close to the ground. Remember how they would spray them with water and put an ice coat over them?
Okay.
So they wouldn't hard freeze.
Okay.
But that colder weather gives them the sweetness.
Whoa.
So they do hope for one.
Okay. Yeah. I'm glad to hear. So I'll be looking forward to buying more strawberries after all this is over with. Elon Musk is backing those Canadian truckers that are protesting their federal government's vaccine mandate. You know, coming back and forth across the border with all of those products from Canada and vice versa. He says, Canadian truckers rule. He said, CB radios are free from government media control. He said, if you scare people enough, they will demand removal of freedom. That is the path to tyranny. Anti-vaccine mandate truckers in Ottawa have participated in a protest convoy demonstrating against a January 15th mandate for cross-border drivers to be vaccinated. And we got the Master Barber with us. And Andrew, I remember you talking about this.
Yeah, Paul. I think they're only making one mistake.
What's
that? They're having a convoy. They need to park them and not deliver nothing.
So stop and really get everybody upset.
That's right. Let's face one thing in life.
But
want to paralyze the countries, make the truckers stop.
Well, we already got enough paralysis with the shipment of goods. I wonder if that would be. Hey, listen, I want to talk to you about this call for impeachment of Joe Biden. Aren't you outraged that somebody would call for the impeachment of a president?
Well, they should call for an impeachment for him just being alive.
I'd impeach him for stupidity.
Of course.
But
no question about it.
Yeah. So we got all these migrants that, I mean, they're caught red-handed. I was watching Fox News videotape, and some guy was talking to one of the people involved in the drop-offs and the airport and putting them on the planes. And they knew darn well what they were doing was wrong. They were admitting it on the tape, you know.
Well, you know, Paul, I discussed that with you about a month and a half ago when Governor DeSantis found
right.
out that they dropped 70 flights off in the Jacksonville area.
Yeah, indeed.
Okay, and what he's doing is treason.
I think it's close to treason. He's supposed to be protecting our borders. That's one of the main jobs of the president, commander-in-chief, security.
And look at the violence that's going on because of it, Paul. Look at the girl that got murdered at the furniture store last week.
Okay? That was terrible.
That's right.
It's just terrible. You know, with illegal and the drugs and the people that will die with the drugs, and of course,
It's all Joe Biden's fault. Period.
Yeah.
Nobody else's but him.
Why don't you think they're? I'm wondering why a guy like Mitch McConnell doesn't start stomping the podium more about this drop off of the illegal.
Because he's a Republican, Paul.
Yeah. I mean, it would seem to me. Now, the one guy I'm really kind of saluting these days is the governor of Texas. He's trying to build a border wall. He's calling out these late night, early morning shenanigans with these illegal immigrants on airplanes. You know, somebody that, he's in the same, I think he's in the same boat with Ron DeSantis, a no-nonsense kind of a governor. Thank God DeSantis and he are doing these things.
Well, you know, Paul, I don't think we have to worry about too much because I think pretty soon you're going to be seeing Hillary as your president.
Oh, that's right. You know, I was going to talk about that, and let's talk about that scenario.
I'm going to tell you my theory.
Okay. And this has to do with Kamala Harris and the Supreme Court, right?
Of course.
All right. Go ahead.
Now, you know, at first Joe Biden said he wanted a black African-American female. Then he changed it to a black female. Okay? I haven't heard more African. I've heard black.
Oh.
Now, we all know that they tried to convince us that Kamala Harris is black. So what's going to happen? As the Democrats want Kamala Harris gone. Now, just like a corporation, if employees kind of so-so and they're not doing that good of a job, they can't fire them, what do? They promote them. They're going to put her into the Supreme Court. Then they are going to bring Hillary in as a VP. Then they're going to pull the 25th Amendment on Joe, saying he's cuckoo. And you're going to have Hillary Clinton as your president. Just what she wanted.
Yeah. Well, if I were in Las Vegas, I'm not sure I would be a betting man on that. But there is talk that Kamala Harris might be the selection. And like you say, just to get her out of the way, one less idiot running around, in the executive department.
Who to the Democrats is more qualified than Hillary Clinton? They have nobody else.
Wouldn't that be a kick if Hillary and Trump ran against each other? That would be wild.
Listen, all I know is they're both going for power, the Republicans and Democrats. Kamala, she would get in for no problem because Mitt Romney would vote for her. Susan Collins would vote for her. It'd be no problem getting her in. No question.
You think so, huh? She has absolutely no business being on the Supreme Court. I think it's almost, that would almost be more important whether or not she was on the Supreme Court than whether or not Hillary Clinton was in.
She's got no business being in politics.
Yeah.
But, you know, by Joe Biden saying that he wanted a black female, number one, that's discrimination,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it's crazy.
Where is affirmative action here?
Can you imagine if he said, by the way, I want a white man, and we're going to make sure that whoever I nominate will be a white man for the Supreme Court.
That's it.
Can you imagine how the press would go everybody would go after him.
You know, Paul, affirmative action really makes me laugh because it only works one way. It doesn't work with white to black. It's got to be black to white. I mean, look at the NFL. Is there affirmative action there? There's not 50-50 on each team.
No, there's not. The best players.
Look at the NBA. Is there 50-50, 50% whites, 50% black at the court? Is that affirmative action?
Well, it's in the free market, and the best players happen to be black, generally.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be the same thing?
Exactly right. No, I agree with you 100%. We were talking earlier about Harvard University and how, because of affirmative action, there are qualified Asian Americans that are being discriminated against. They're not getting in because you got to fulfill a quota for black people. This is so stupid. And now we're going to have a quota on the Supreme Court. Well, let's be honest, everybody looks to do certain things, you know, first woman, this, that, and the other thing. It's got to, you know, so they're always going to lean that way. But they don't have to come out and blatantly say, as Biden did, and it's going to be a black female. Well, come on. What if there aren't any really great right now black females that should be considered?
Because you know, look at it this way. You're getting rid of one liberal and just getting another. Not changing anything.
Right. Another thing, I wonder if Breyer was pushed out.
No, there's no question about it. He was pushed out. They told him, get your ass out of here. We want to make this move, and we're going to make it without you. You don't want to get the pillow over your head like Scalia.
Oh, yes. You still buy into that?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
Like I told you, the government today makes the mafia look like Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Okay, now, if you don't think you're going to off somebody to get them out of their way, you're wrong.
Well, it's certainly been done in the past. We know that, especially in some of these local politics, you know, all of the, God.
Especially when there's no circumstances, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
They can off anybody and get away with it.
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind.
So, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say something else, but it's not even noteworthy.
Well, I was just going to move over towards Ron DeSantis and how things are going in Florida these days and the whole COVID situation here. We still have our freedom. We're still able to walk around. Not quite like the border crossing between truckers on, you know, on the Canadian border.
I'll be getting a lot more information on what's going on in the DeSantis front next weekend because the parents are coming over for dinner.
Wow.
The mother just got back in from Tallahassee because she's been helping out with Casey with the cancer.
Yeah, Casey is the wife of Ron. And have you heard anything as to how she is doing?
Well, apparently she's doing good, but they've got to wait now to see if the chemo works. She's all done with her chemo, and we pray to God that everything
works. Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely right. By the way, I got an email with her name on it. Talking about you know, funding for the DeSantis campaign, blah blah blah. So apparently, at least I know she doesn't write the emails, but her name was on it. Well, I don't know if you ever get those.
I can tell you this.
Yeah,
I know one thing, and I'm not going to give the figure because I know what he has in his war chest. There isn't a Democrat that's running against him that even comes close.
I wouldn't think so either. I wouldn't think so. I think he's got tremendous support, and especially, let's be honest, from the business community. He's very pro-business. He knows how to make the state work. Our state is working. Our state is running well, and we don't have a state income tax to suck money out of the people that live here, you know?
The kid's batting almost 1,000, believe me.
Yeah.
He's doing a great job, and we're going to see what happens here. And
exactly right.
I did hear your podcast yesterday, but I won't talk about
it. Oh, I knew you'd bring it up. Ed's got to listen to it, I guess, too. I made the mistake of going on The Voice of Reason. I'm going to call it The Voice of Boredom. I can hardly listen to the show.
You got to understand what happened, Paul. Number one, I really don't believe Ed is a socialist because he likes things too much. Like I said, he drives an expensive car.
Well, you're talking about Ed Golly, yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. He drives an expensive car. He has all solar power put into his house. Now, I don't know if this is true or not either, but I heard he was into flying. I don't know about that.
Yes, he is. I believe that.
I'm sure he is. Yeah, many people that pretend to be socialists are the ultimate libertarians. They love things like that. Yeah, they love keeping their money, and they love spending it. And
that's right.
More power to them. But don't wander around pretending to be something you're not.
Exactly. I mean, he's really a nice guy. Don't get me wrong. But you can't explode, and your philosophies are wrong, man. You're like an electrician that's crossing the wires wrong way all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But for the way I see he lives, I don't believe he believes what he believes. Make sense?
Yes, it does. I don't think a lot of people that pretend to be socialists really are. The ones that run socialism in socialistic countries usually turn out to be multimillionaires after a while. They feed off of it.
Exactly.
You know? Look at Putin, by the way. Speaking of socialists and communists, he might be the richest man in the world.
That's right.
He might be the richest.
By the time Biden's done buying all their oil, he's going to be the richest.
I think so, too. Well, anyway, it's always great to talk with you, my friend, and we will be talking again on Monday, God willing. Thank you so very much, Andrew.
Hey, I wanted to get...
Oh, wait. Hold on.
Andrew, I wanted to get this on tape so we can play it back. Either we could play it back and get you an appearance on Fox News, or we can get a prescription for you other than the straitjacket for when you're committed. So you're saying that Kamala Harris is going to be pushed to the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Hillary Clinton is going to go to the vice, be put as vice president.
Yep.
And then Biden is going to have probably some sort of episode, which is probably the biggest thing we can believe will happen. And then she slides in to the White House.
Of course.
Okay.
I'm writing this down as he's talking.
I am, too. We got it on tape. Today is January 28, 2022.
Well, listen, he's been right before on certain things. I never thought that.
Well, he wasn't on that whole Trump re-election thing didn't work out well.
No, it didn't. You can't be right all the time. Can't be right 100%, right, Andrew?
Let's follow it and see what happens. But they want to get this done before November, because then what I talked about the Republicans doing could happen, and they don't want that to happen.
I would just love to see an impeachment trial of Biden. If we take over the House, that's where the impeachment.
I don't think.
Starts.
I think they'll give him a deal. If that were to happen, I think he gets a deal, and I think he would take it just to leave with some sort of, you know, because what we all have been
impeachment
fearing.
Would be a good, exactly,
and he steps down with honors. You know,
the only deal they'll give Biden is they're going to let him wear Houdini's straitjacket he used to wear when he get all padlocked, and they take him away.
That's how Houdini died, by the way. Didn't they dump him in a?
Yeah, he couldn't get out. He drowned.
Couldn't get out, and he drowned.
Hey, say hi to the hen house.
I did. I was already there and left because they were cackling. Way
good
too much.
God, I'd have shot myself by now.
What are you talking about? The hen house?
Well, the Candy and the other one in there are just going at it, the two of them.
They're wonderful. Oh, Ed, are you talking about those beautiful women that are at Andrew's Master Barbershop? I love them. Anyway, thanks, Andrew. We'll talk again on Monday.
Have a good day.
All right. No, oh, we love him. We love them all. And Ed loves them, too. Okay, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, scientists who downplayed the COVID-19 lab leak theory, well, they sang a different tune in private. We're going to take a look at it. I'm going to raise a
fuss. I'm going to raise a heart. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcast Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcast Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, here on the Tantalk Radio Network. But if you cannot listen to us live, thanks to my good buddy Big Ed Davis, you can go to our website and listen to us any old time you want. OurFreedomWorks.com. OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. Ed's got all the shows up there. starting with the latest one and going back, and you'll see who the guest is and the top 10, the whole bit. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, U.S. scientists who publicly attributed COVID-19's pandemic to natural origins rather than human engineering, apparently far less confident in private. We found notes, transcripts from some of the previous meetings, and they seem to indicate some experts may have consciously chosen to suppress evidence that could fuel conspiracy thinking. Here is Dr. Robert Gary from Tulane School of Medicine from a February 2020 meeting that was released, I guess the Freedom of Information Act. They found these notes. This is released by House Republicans. Quote, I really cannot think of a plausible natural scenario where you get this virus. Basically saying that it looked like at that point, according to him, that it had to be manufactured in a lab. He said, I just can't figure out how this gets accomplished in nature. Don't mention a lab origin, as that will just add fuel to the conspiracists. Conspiracists! You know, common sense tells you that this thing came from a lab. I'm no scientist. But common sense tells me that it wasn't created in some cold or wet market or whatever they call it, just outside of the lab in Wuhan. Just coincidentally nearby a lab that's working with viruses. That's what Chinese people or the Chinese government want people to believe, that somehow a lab next to a wet market, it was the wet market. So fresh questions are now being raised about what American scientists and federal health officials knew about the origins of the coronavirus and whether conflicting evidence was suppressed and hidden from the public. And of course, Fauci, the White House medical advisor, is right in the middle of all of this. He was warned as early as January 2 years ago that the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases that he oversaw was indirectly linked to the infamous Wuhan lab through a U.S.-based scientific nonprofit that has been working with novel coronaviruses. So, I mean, Fauci is up to his neck in this thing. He's up to his neck. And yet he continues to say, no, it's not really coming from a lab. It's probably been, you know, a natural thing. He knows darn well that that's not true. Anyway, this is continuing on, and it would be great to get to the bottom of this eventually, but I think most rational-thinking people believe that the doggone virus did indeed come from that Chinese lab. Okay. We are about ready for our top 10. Ed, is there anything going on? I'm still worried about whether or not Tom Brady's going to stay with the Bucs. We might lose a couple of players, I guess, because of the salary caps. What's going on with the Bucs? Oh, really? He wants Bruce to call the plays. I thought Tom Brady called his own plays anyway, but not really, though, huh? He does call his own plays. Kind of, sort of. So, actually, Bruce Arians would give him more of his head to call plays, maybe. I got you. All right. It is time, Ed, for our top 10, and let me set the scenario here. It is the top 10 most corrupt countries in the world. You can't buy into all of these stupid things, but, you know, it's always kind of fun. A certain organization will set some sort of a standard and then say, okay, so then we ran it through our standards and these are the top 10. This is supposedly Transparency International's 2021 Corruption Perception Index that came up with these things. It measures the perception of public sector corruption according to experts and business people, and they ranked 180 countries and territories on a scale of highly corrupt, which is zero, to very clean, which is 100. So the lower the number, the worse the country for corruption. Here we go, number 10. Ed had to run over. I'll let you in on a secret. He was on the phone. He had to run over to the drums. No, he wasn't on the phone. That's all right, Ed. Don't worry about it. Number 10 is Burundi. They got all of 19 points out of 100 in being a clean country. All right. By the way, there's a tie with two others. So,
and we already know the U.S. is not top because you said they were.
I did. They're not going to be in the worst, but they're also not in the top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. They ranked the United States 27th.
Yeah, that's what you said.
And I thought, you know, after I looked at that.
So that's like, what, higher?
Well, 27th.
Is that
yeah,
a good
the top. Yeah, from the top. In other words, the least corrupt.
Oh, okay.
Least corrupt was number one. And in that least corrupt group, 27th out of 180. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And by the way, in that situation, Canada came in higher than the United States. They came in 13th. And the United Kingdom also came in 11th. Mm. They're supposedly less corrupt than we are. Anyway, back to the corrupt. We have two others I want to mention, Turkmenistan and the Democratic Republic of the Congo, that were the top 10 most corrupt, were 10th most corrupt. All right, number 8. We have a tie, Equatorial Guinea and Libya.
Libya,
good old Libya, 17 points. All right. Now we go, believe it or not, all the way down to number 5 because we have a triple number 5. They are Yemen, North Korea, there's our boy, and Afghanistan. They're all at 16 points, okay? So now we're down to number 4. Our nutty people in Venezuela. That's like turning communist, very sad. 14 points. Number 3. Actually, it's a tie for number 2. Somalia and Syria. No, I don't think I'd want to go to either place. 13 points. All right, Ed. You can name a lot of countries.
I know, but we were talking about it. How about Putin and Russia?
I don't know why they're not on here.
Really?
They must have been paying for this survey. They're not on here.
Do not put us on there. We will find you.
Yeah, exactly. Number 1 is South Sudan in Africa. 11
wow.
points. 11 measly points. Things are really bad in South Sudan. All right. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful weekend. And do remember, freedom works.